It's 10 a.m.
Wake up time!
And you're listening to Utah's most listened to sports radio show.
This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G.
Presented by WCF Insurance.
Reminding you to be careful out there.
On 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
But for all the sickness to go gone, because I wanted to play with my friends.
Welcome on in, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Hans and Scotty, hope you're all well. Hey, buddy.
How you doing, Scotty?
I am great.
Man, it's nice to be back in studio, isn't it?
It is. It's two times in 3 days. It's got to be a record for us.
Hey, Lloyd, how you doing? Oh, wait.
Oh, jeez.
It's not Lloyd again. It's Jake Hatch.
Hi, guys.
Jake,
Hi,
how
Jake.
Are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Nice. It's good to see you, bud. I had a listener earlier today tweet me and say, I don't understand what's taking BYU so long. Why don't we see a coaching hire? And I was kind of cracking up. I don't think people understand how permanent an assistant hire is. Like, You hire an assistant, he's basically with you until you're fired.
Yeah. You know, and it's funny you bring that up because I had a friend of mine reach out about Utah State, and they're trying to put their coaching staff together with Blake Anderson. And he said the same thing. He's like, why does this take so long? I want to know. I'm like, first off, do you really – I mean, like, in the grand scheme of things, it's important, but your average Joe Schmuckatelli, does it really matter who your graduate assistant offensive line coach is?
Right.
Come on.
It doesn't.
It doesn't really matter.
That doesn't really matter.
Yeah. You know, and so it's like, let's just, you know, let guys do their thing. And the vetting process is so, so significant now. I mean, you talk about the coaches need to – like, look, this is a person they're going into battle with, so they need to be absolutely sure he's the right guy. And then you find that guy, and then you hand him over to your university, who in this day and age, they're going over every single thing in every aspect of their life since they were potty training, you know, 50 years ago. I mean, it's they need to know everything because they can't have anything come out on social media. Oh, he said this 15 years ago. I mean, you got to go through a lengthy process. So, yeah, it's going to take some time.
Which was interesting as Baylor took Coach Mateos, and I learned a little bit about Baylor's process of hiring ever since all the things went down at Baylor.
Yeah.
With what was supposed to be a religious institution and was supposed to have character and morals.
Yeah.
Well, now the background check and the entrance in is any type of hire is brutal. And that's what chewed up and spit out the first offensive line idea that they had. It's tough.
Yeah. And you know, just because, you know, you and your new job, your background check took 2 days, it's a little bit different with a football coach.
So another thing that people have to understand, you can maybe hire and fire a coordinator. Like, we're seeing some coordinators that are hired and fired. You know, you'll see it in professional sports more than anything. I just saw that the Seahawks just fired their offensive coordinator. You can, as a major D1 coach, you can fire your coordinators. And sometimes when you fire your coordinators, you do lose your assistants. But you never look at a position group coach. When a coordinator's doing a good job, but the position group inside of that coordination isn't the best, but you still have this assistant that you hired, and you can't move him. Because that side of the defense is playing well, that position group sucks, but it's hidden because of these aspects. But we can't move this guy. We can't fire him.
Yeah.
He's attached to me. And in my time covering teams here in the state, multiple times I have seen the assistants or an assistant be absolute trash. The other staff members can't stand him. He can't get production out of his position group. He's not a good recruiter. He's not an addition in recruiting. And he is an absolute mess. But the coaches, they can't – I mean, they can, but it just doesn't
– Yeah.
It doesn't gel. It doesn't look right. Like there are a couple of assistants right now in the state that could probably go. And you could probably fill that position with another guy, and you're going to get improvement in that position group because that coach will be better. He will recruit better. He will identify talent. He will develop talent. He will understand your scheme. He won't feel like he's above the law. And so when you're going to hire an assistant, just people need to understand, you're basically attaching this guy to your name for an extended period of time when it's not a coordinator. Coordinators get loose and they suck and that side sucks and, you know, your hand is forced and then you got to fire them or sometimes you all go. Like yeah. We just saw Matt Wells.
Yeah.
Who made a coordinating move.
Correct.
But hiring an assistant is a whole other ball of wax. And so I would assume they'll take their time. I think there are some logical hires that just, I guess, by the flow of things make sense. With BYU and their new position that's open, the flow of the hire makes sense for Kevin Kloon. I don't know a lot about Kevin. I know he's moved around a lot of places. I don't know a lot about Kevin Kloon. I think you probably know more about him than I know about him.
Spent time with Gary Anderson in his first tenure at Utah State. Then Matt Wells hired him to oversee his defense. I think that lasted about a year before then he went back to Oregon State with Gary.
Did Matt Wells let him go or did he?
I think he took the job at Oregon State.
And moved,
yeah.
Okay. And so then he was part of the Gary Anderson. When Gary left, he
Correct.
Was part of that whole exit.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, BYU fans need to know that Kevin Kloon did spend the year as an analyst on that BYU staff.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people know that he was still around the program for years. So he's got some continuity there at BYU.
I do want people to understand this is a guess on my end. I have no insight into it. I haven't talked to anybody about it. It's just it's the logical. It makes sense, I guess, that he was there as an analyst, and he's been a longtime college coach. Personally, I still think that you need to look outside of Kevin Kloon.
Yeah, you go down his list a little bit. He was with Gary Anderson down at Southern Utah, so he and Kalani knew each other well there from that tenure down at Southern Utah when Gary started as a head coach. Went to Weber State, was there as a defensive coordinator, linebacker coach from 05 to 07. Then went to Utah State with Gary from 2009 to 2013. Was a defensive coordinator at Hawaii in 2014. Went to Utah State in 2015, then went to Oregon State as a defensive coordinator.
See, the position that is being asked to be coached, I don't think you need a coach that's that traveled. I don't think you need a coach that's that tenured. I think you need a hungry coach.
Yeah.
That really understands base techniques, that understands fire, that understands, but is hungry and will grind. That doesn't have money, has nothing. I think you need a coach that just wants to go. Look at the hire that Utah made at basically this same position. It was Sione Pua.
Yeah.
And Sione, plenty of playing experience, years and years of playing experience. But there were three things that Sione understood when he came to the University of Utah. Number one, the culture, because he played there. Number two, recruiting, because he had pipelines. He had a great idea of the avenues and areas that he wanted to recruit.
Especially in the Polynesian community.
Number three, he understood the techniques and the things that make you successful at that position. Now, you combine those with his willingness to grind, really grind, and you've got yourself a special coach. And I don't know enough about Coach Kloon. I know he's been around the coaching world for a lot of years, but that position in particular, I would have liked to see more of a coach that's up and coming.
Yeah.
That is hungry, that is a development specialist, that has ideas in recruiting, that has some maybe new, unique ideas in the position. Now, on the offensive side, having to find a new O-line coach at BYU, something maybe a little bit more tenured. Not something that's more grind, but something that's been around for a lot of years and understands what needs to be done with this BYU offensive line. Because I do think that whoever comes in and takes over that is they're coming in with some really good talent.
Yeah.
And that should be – boy, I think that offensive line coaching job at BYU should be one of the top perceived assistant jobs that's open in the nation right now. Because you've got great talent. You've got the ability to recruit that position. Anybody with any sense can recruit that position and recruit it well here in the state of Utah. And could take 60-70% of talent from the state of Utah. But you can go outside of the state. You can go to Idaho and get yourself a couple of big, you know, farm-raised, corn-eaten, potato-loving.
Don't say meth head.
Meathead. Even though it's spelled nearly the same. But you could go find that there.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Yep.
And so that's a coveted position. But I do want somebody there that has a more depth of experience because he's going to be more on an island. Whoever's going to be working that defensive assistant position is going to be more of an Itu Iaki and Kalani Sitake project. Who's ever working that offensive line position, he's going to be on an island. They're basically going to say, hey, take this position group and go to the side, and this is what we're going to be doing. I got to imagine that Aaron Roderick does want somebody that has some level of understanding and continuity and has been around.
Yeah.
So,
and now, then out of California, he's a corn-fed meth head.
Oops.
M-E-A-T-H-E-A-D.
Hey, look, I'm not throwing you under the bus.
So the A
means a lot, yeah.
The A means the meat.
Yeah.
The A is important.
The A is important.
Yeah. But I understand, you know, when you
prison time.
Were you reading off a script?
So everybody needs to. Yeah, I was reading off a script.
So I totally see how
that. Well, I had to memorize the script.
But, oh wow!
But everybody needs to understand that this was a production for MTV.
Yeah.
And we were bringing bullies. That
so meth heads were a possibility.
Yes, these are yes. Much more than a corn fed meat head, it would have been a corn fed meth head, because it's MTV. And so I guess.
But even then, I don't think, even if somebody is on meth, I don't think they like to
advertise
publicly
that?
Acknowledge it in that kind of a setting.
I'm a corn-fed meth head.
Yeah.
I told you who yelled. It was Mark Burnett.
Yeah, the Survivor guy.
Yeah. Mark Burnett is sitting there, and he goes, what? Stop. Stop. What did you say? And I said, corn-fed meth head.
Like, so you said it again.
Yeah, he's like, do you have your cards? I'm like, yeah. So I grab my card. He goes, take a look at that again. And I look at my card. I'm like, meth head.
Smears manly.
He's like, you're costing us money, man. And I was like.
It wasn't the most.
Just tell me what you want me to say. It's meathead.
Meathead.
Don't you call me that again, Mark. I'll come bust your teeth out.
Yeah, that dude's got more money than than 99.9% of America. Yeah, by the way, he's the guy that's I don't want to say responsible, but I mean, he put the Trump show together. The Apprentice. That's his baby too.
Oh. Mark Burnett's he's the Apprentice.
Yeah.
Which, did you ever watch an episode of that?
I didn't watch it when it was just a bunch of nobodies, but then when it was the celebrities, I would watch that every now and then.
Do you think he'll go back to that?
That's a good question. Maybe. I think he's going to set up his own news network, honestly.
Do you?
I think he's going to go after Fox.
He might. Yeah, he might. But, yeah, so kind of funny thing. But I've got ideas on what BYU should do. It's just, you can't crack that nut, man. Kalani and his staff, those guys are very tight with any type of information, and you cannot crack that nut. But logical thinking, it's probably going to be Kevin Kloon. And then logically thinking, I think it's between two guys on the offensive side. It's either Coach Myers out of Weber State or it's TJ Woods. the former Utah State offensive line coach.
I know TJ well, and I will say this. If you're a BYU fan, you would – I don't know Coach Myers well, and he could be great, and I'm not disparaging him in any way, shape, or form, but I'm just going off my own personal
– yeah,
what I've seen and the offensive linemen that I've talked to that have played for him. You know, you get the Wimpy brothers and get them talking about TJ Wood, they'll take a bullet for the guy. And so I think you're in good hands if TJ gets the job. I'm sure you're in good hands if Coach Myers gets the job too. But I know TJ, and I'm a little biased because I consider him a pretty good friend, but TJ would be great.
I'm a little bit worried about this, actually. I'm actually way more worried about the offensive line hire because BYU has gone into essentially 20 years of O-line obscurity. They've had some really good offensive linemen come through, but they have not maximized that position. And finally, that position is being maximized. And look at the difference it's made as it's being maximized. You finally get, you know, an all-American offensive tackle, and you get heavy offensive line production, which leads to a quarterback getting a first-round nod.
Yeah.
It leads to a running back getting – going over 1,000 yards. It leads to receivers getting big-time yards and having possible draft opportunities with Dax Milne. So that's what that's done. I just don't want it to go backwards.
Yeah.
And believe it or not, there were some hires that were made that I thought, oh, this is – like Mike Impey was the right hire. I believe Mike Impey was the right hire. Mike brought in talent – He's developed talent. I knew Mike. Mike was a coach on the staff when I was at BYU. He is a trusted offensive line mind. He is a Roger French, born and raised offensive line coach, style, technique, emphasis. And, you know, when the offensive side of the ball was let go, he was a casualty of that.
Yeah.
When they talked about, well, this offensive line staff is so new. This, you know, they haven't coached. Reno Mahe and Ty Detmer and, you know, you go down the list. Well, Mike Impey had a good chunk of experience. Yeah. So I was bummed to see him go. I'd love to see Mike get another chance with Aaron Roderick as a coordinator. But I don't think that that's going to happen. I hope whoever comes in is a technique genius and continues on the path that Jeff Grimes set that BYU program on, because it's a difference maker, in my opinion.
Yeah. All right, Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. We'll get to your starting lineup coming up next. Joining us now from Wasatch Medical, Andrew Reinhart. Andrew, how you doing?
I am doing well. How are you guys today?
We're good. We're doing well. And I know there's a lot of people here up and down the Wasatch Front that are doing well because they've made a phone call and they've talked to you and they've gotten some things straightened out. As for those that are still struggling perhaps with some ED issues, now's the time to get it taken care of.
Yes, it is indeed. We have gotten so good at using acoustic wave therapy to open up gently blood vessels. And there's guys out there struggling with erectile dysfunction, maybe just occasionally. And then there's guys with more severe versions. Nobody wants to take the pill. I mean, what a disaster, the headaches and the blurred vision. This is all about blood flow with just a few short, they're about 10-minute treatments over maybe 2 weeks. We can reverse ED. The clinical studies suggest that. We've helped thousands of guys. So if you are in this category and struggling or frustrated in the bedroom, I'll tell you, acoustic wave therapy can really help get your relationship back on track.
All you have to do is call 801-901-8000, and I'm kind of putting you on the spot here. I'm assuming there's still a lot of free involved here?
There's a lot of free. We really believe in delivering value. And people that take advantage of this offer and they come in and they meet with our medical doctor, the absolute worst thing that happens is you come away with a ton of good information. And you may say, you know what? I hate you guys. The treatments are not for me. But you'll spend 30, 45 minutes with the doctor. He'll do a blood flow ultrasound at no charge. We're throwing in a little special gift. Maybe it's in preparation of Valentine's Day. It'll produce instant results in the bedroom. and it's all free, and then you can decide from there if the treatments are a good fit.
801-901-8000. That's 801-901-8000. Call now. Set up that free assessment. Let's get you taken care of. 801-901-8000 right here on the Zone Sports Network.
This is DJ and PK.
Brad McMurphy, national college football writer and insider for Stadium Network. The way too early top 25s came out. You had Utah at number 11. And curious what you saw in Utah that you have your expectation for them set so high.
I don't think you can penalize Utah or any of the Pac-12 teams based on last season. And if they had played a full season, I think people would look at them totally different coming into this year. And there's a friend of mine that works for the Action Network. He let me see his power ratings, and I don't remember specifically where he had Utah. But I believe they were no lower than like 13th or 14th in his power rating. So I think you'll see Utah in a lot of top 15, top 20s when its preseason rankings start coming out. Now, it's one thing to start there, and it's another thing to end there. But obviously, it's a good jumping off point.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. This is Hans and Scotty G.
Let's go!
And now it's time to kick off the show with the biggest topic of the day. This is the Starting Lineup. Starting Lineup. Presented by University of Utah Health. Gotta love it! On 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Lob ahead to Royce O'Neal. Catches, kicks to the corner. Jordan Clarkson, right side three. Sweet child of mine. Bogey to the front court. Stutter steps, leaves it behind for Donovan. Catch and shoot three. Perfect. 27-point lead for the Jazz. Donovan's got himself 18.
Starting lineup right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. The Jazz did what they were supposed to do. They took on an underhanded or an undermanned Cleveland team and took them behind the woodshed and roughed them up pretty good.
Donovan Mitchell's quote was the best of the night. At the end of it, he said, "We did exactly what we were supposed to do against a team we were supposed to beat."
Yep.
That's it. And that's what we talked about yesterday. Like, the Jazz had a job in front of them. We knew what the expectations were. You knew who Cleveland was missing. By the way, Andre Drummond was a late scratch.
Yeah. It was they were playing a G League team last night.
Outside of Andre Drummond, you're missing Colin Sexton, Kevin Love, Darius Garland. You're basically missing your entire offensive side of the ball. And going into that game, I'm thinking, geez, if they show any wavering in this game, then we really do need to stop and start questioning why. All right, so they're a shooting team. All right, well, they're shooting uncontested shots from the perimeter. They dang well better fall. And they did.
Yeah.
They fell. And they were able to knock down 53.3% of their three-point attempts. They were 24-45 last night against Cleveland. And that tells you that this is a road game. This is on the very back part of now what is a six-game road trip, originally scheduled as a seven. We'll talk about that. But, you know, you're on the back end of this. You've been on the road for 10 days. Yet you're still finding the strength in your legs. You're still finding the accuracy, the rhythm. And you find that high-level percentage before you come back to Vivint Arena. And I was pleased with it.
Yeah. Jazz, by the way, the number three team in the NBA in total three-point shots made and number five in the league in three-point shooting percentage, which I thought was interesting when I was pulling up some stats getting ready for the show this morning.
A little surprising.
That they are as highly ranked as they are in three-point percentage, fifth in the league. Making 39% of their threes.
They're fifth right now?
Yep.
Interesting. They're climbing that board.
And third in terms of just overall three-point shots made. They're also third in the league in three-point shot attempts.
Well, it was nice to see Bojan Bogdanović find 4 of 6 and jump his percentage. You know, it was really nice to see George Niang go 6 of 11 from the field and see George Niang go 2 of 4. It was nice to see him hit from the perimeter because when he hits, he actually is a weapon out there offensively. And the very beginning of the year, you're like, is Quinn going to start to bury him on the bench a little bit, take those minutes away? And maybe this was scrap time, but George Niang got 15 minutes last night. And again, 6 of 11 from the field, 2 of 4 from three.
He needed to snap out of it a little bit. And what I really liked, and because 11 attempts last night, 4 from three-point line, that means that, and Gordy Chiesa talked about this all the time, outside shots not falling, get to the rim. The best way to get you out of a slump is to keep shooting and also try to attack the rim. Get to the free throw line, try to finish at the rim, and it seemed like he was a little bit more aggressive in that regard.
Joe Ingles was a scratch for this game. He had the right ankle or the right Achilles soreness and was a scratch for this game. And everybody wants to talk about the 384 straight. I just don't even care. Like, he's just doing his job. He knows it. I know it. Any professional athlete knows it. He's just doing his job.
Yeah.
And if he can do it, then do it. But, you know, these streaks are ridiculous in comparison to where some of the old school boys were. Some of the old school dudes that were out on the court, man, those guys would ball. They'd ball night in and night out. They'd ball with soreness, and they didn't care. Why? Because they were getting paid to play, and they were excited to play and get paid for it.
And, well, you know the number 1,041.
Yeah.
Ron Boone.
Yeah. It's a lot higher than 380-whatever. I don't even care. I don't care. Well, guess why he played 384 straight? Because he's paid to play it. And that's what everybody should do.
Yeah.
But anyways, I don't want to get off on that tangent. And Joe Ingles doesn't care either.
No, and that's the other thing. I mean, I think Joe – but here, you know, the crazy number is the fact that that was number one in the NBA.
Exactly.
At 300.
That's absurd. That's absurd. Booner was what?
1,041 straight games. Sad part
okay,
is
okay. So that's something that you do need to stop and say. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Well, and the sad part for Booner is it's not recognized from the NBA because it's a collection of both the ABA and the NBA.
Oh, that needs to be changed.
I know.
That's got to be changed. He was doing it in the league at the time that was required.
Yeah.
But
anyways,
Joe Ingles off the court, and I thought that the Jazz handled that extremely well. You know what else I love about this team? We've now seen the starting five start in all 11 games.
That's absolutely critical. Absolutely critical.
Is that factual? I'm pretty sure that that's factual.
I think so.
I believe that your starting five has started as your starting five in all 11 games. And that is rare and incredible, especially with the virus that we're dealing with. And if this starting five can stay together and keep doing their thing, they're just going to get better and better.
So the Jazz have won 5 out of the last 7 games. Just that trip to New Jersey and New York were the ones that have kind of tripped up the Jazz a little bit. But you bring up a really good point, and it's kind of the way that this virus thing is working these days. It seems like it's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when that everybody's going to get kind of roughed up by this thing to a certain degree, and you're going to miss games, and you might have a game like Cleveland did last night. Now, Cleveland, a lot of their issues are not COVID-related. They're actual real injuries. Mm-hmm. But what's really important is while you have consistency in your lineup, you have got guys healthy, you've got to win as many games as you possibly can because you're probably going to take a turn with this virus, and it's probably going to cause some problems, whether it's postponed games or just depleted lineups. It's just, it kind of feels inevitable to a certain extent. So rack up the wins while you can, because it could turn against you here pretty soon.
You know what? I'd love to have a question asked to Quinn or to any Jazz front office personnel. If Rudy Gobert or Donovan Mitchell today were exposed to somebody who tested positive for COVID, where we know that they both had it, which has been nearly a year ago.
Yeah.
Would they be quarantined?
Yeah, they would. Yes. If they're following, and I'm assuming they are, the same issues that that college basketball is. So the CDC at one point said that if you had contracted the virus, that you have immunity for at least 90 days, probably more, but they put the number at 90 days.
Just to be safe.
Just to be on the safe side. So kids that in college ranks, and I think this was the Pac-12 and the Mountain West, both had the same policy that if you had contracted it, you had 90 days where you didn't have to test. Remember Zach Wilson, when we talked to him or he gave an interview, he said, I got it in the summer,
yeah.
So I was fine until he hit that 90-day mark, and then he had to find a different apartment because he wanted to make sure he didn't have any contact tracing issues. Well, now that number has been pushed from 90 to 150 because the CDC believes that you have at least immunity for 5 months. So, obviously, Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell, that was many, many months ago. You got to go all the way back to March, so you're almost pushing a year. So I would assume that they will treat them the same way they treat any player, where if they come in contact with somebody, they'll probably end up having to deal with contact tracing issues.
It's going to be weird if they ever test positive again.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's been people that have had double positives. I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility at all.
Man, it'd be crazy if it was a high-profile guy like Rudy.
Oh, I mean, yeah, for sure.
The initial push on that'd be weird if he was the first to test positive twice in the NBA.
It'd be
a strange deal that he was the first to test positive, but it would just be a major eye opener, just like when he tested positive was a big time eye opener.
Well, I mean, Kevin Durant caught it in the summer, and remember, he had to miss games because of contact tracing.
Yeah.
So they're treating him the same way.
Yep. That's right. The other thought I had with the starting five of the Jazz now starting all 11 games, I started thinking about the starting five and Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert and some of the big money guys now that have signed their extensions and big-time healthy contracts. And I started to think how grateful I am that I cover a team that doesn't have knuckleheads on it. As I watch Kyrie Irving disappear from that Nets organization, or I watch James Harden, who's going to be in the Good, Bad, and Ugly today, take a guess where he'll be in the Good, Bad, and Ugly. But as I watch James Harden,
I can think of two things:
be a complete moron about the way he's handling his business. You know, when I think of guys like Russell Westbrook that have just eaten organizations from the inside out, I can't stop and think how grateful I am the Jazz have who they have. And then I can't help but think, eventually, if they stay together and their chemistry stays healthy, eventually they're going to capitalize on this. The goodwill of good companionship, good partnership, good teamsmanship is eventually going to pay off. And there was a moment last night in that game against Cleveland that I absolutely loved. Rudy Gobert gets a steal, or it was maybe a back part of a rebound or something, and swipes it away off the ground, scoops it up, and starts on a fast break on his own.
Yeah.
And he gets down to the other end of the court, and, you know, Matt's having a blast with it. Bowler's having a blast with it, and they're, you know, cheering this thing up. Oh, look at the big man go! And he gets down there, and he's having fun, and he gets hard fouled and loses control of the ball. Well, after that, it's a split second, but it's something I picked up on. Donovan Mitchell came over and gave Rudy Gobert a little bit of crap, you know, and probably said something along the lines of, man, what you think you're going to run that ball, or along something like that. And when I saw Rudy grin, big grin, and kind of shove him a little bit, and Donovan kind of wipe off the shove with a big smile on his face, that told me a lot in that moment. That doesn't happen when a team is collapsing internally.
Yeah.
It doesn't.
When it's unsalvageable.
When it's unsalvageable. You know what happens in that moment? Donovan doesn't say a word.
Yeah.
And Rudy feels stupid in that moment, even if you are up by 20.
Or if Donovan does try to give it to you a little bit, Rudy's mad about it and walks away.
Rudy gets mad and walks away.
Yeah.
And brushes it off. But That moment is really important for me as a former athlete that understands team chemistry really well. And I think one aspect of what I did well was team chemistry.
Yeah.
I understood chemistry. And I tried to maintain and cultivate chemistry. And when I see that, I'm like, man, that's good to have around for the next 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
That's really good. Those two need to continue to build on that friendship and that playfulness and be able to – because you know who's watching that? Guys like Miaoni, they're seeing that.
Yeah.
You know, guys that are just coming into the system, like Elijah, those guys are seeing that for the first time, and that's impactful to them.
shows what culture you're building there and what you support as a team and a locker room. And I think that's pretty important.
Yep.
I think you bring up a really good point there. All right, Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network as we continue on talking Utah Jazz basketball. You know what? It was funny talking to somebody the other day about, like, man, I'm really bummed out. I don't get to see any football. Football's over. Hey, FCS, not that far away. In fact, we ought to try to see if we get Jay on here pretty soon. See when training camp's beginning and what that's going to look like. Sorry, Lloyd, just producing on the play.
I'm glad that you can still say that name and that university.
You and me both. Honestly,
there've been multiple moments where I'm like, "There's no way."
The last three or four years, every offseason, I'm like, "Well, it's maybe Jay's last year in Ogden," and then it just keeps going and going and going.
I'm going to tell people in Ogden, Weber State fans in general, I'm going to tell you that you really do have an incredible community, and I think that the community in that area and how they've treated his wife as she's gone through her things and treated their kids as they've both fought through all kinds of stuff, I think it's been a huge stabilizing force in his life.
Yeah.
And I think it's been impactful.
Yep, I agree with that.
Because he's had chances to leave. Yeah. I know that for a fact. Not from him, but from people that were checking in on him. So I love that we can still say Jay Hill's the head coach at Weber State.
I will say this. There's something about Ogden that the people that have come from there, that have gone to school there or have been associated with the city, they are fiercely loyal.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking to Katie yesterday from Homie.
Yep.
If you were to say one bad word about Ogden, she was going to come across the table and strangle you.
You just don't dare. You just don't dare. I will tell you, though, that I absolutely love that area of Utah.
Oh, I do,
the
too.
The people and that community and that area, amazing.
Well, geez, whenever we're up in Ogden or Davis County and we're doing a remote, I mean, we see the generosity that just...
It's incredible. We had a guy bring us a letter to Minky Couture, dropped a letter off for Scotty and I, and it was the most kind...
Yeah.
It might have been all lies, but... They were really pleasing words.
Yes.
Really kind. So I do. I love it. And I do think it's played a huge role in retaining Jay up there.
Hans and Scotty, 1045. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Number one.
Make us your number one preset.
The Zone Sports Network is Utah's number one choice for sports radio in Utah. From DJ and PK to Hans and Scotty and The Big Show with Gordon Monson and Jake Scott, The Zone continues to dominate the competition. Thank you to all of you that continue to make The Zone Sports Network Utah's highest rated, most listened to sports station. Your home for the best coverage of the teams you're passionate about is right here. 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
You don't have time to watch every game or read every story.
Fortunately, we do.
Here's what you may have missed on 97.5 1280 The Zone
and The Zone Sports Network.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Time for another edition of What You May Have Missed.
What are we missing at Utah State? Any hiring news there?
I've not seen, you know, it's funny because we had the beat writer on from Central Florida. And yeah. I asked him, like, hey, it hasn't been announced yet on the offensive coordinator. He's like, well, it's been announced here. I don't know what you guys are talking about, morons. Anyway. It still hasn't been announced yet. So, I mean,
but it's been announced there.
Yeah. So you're going to have an offensive coordinator from Central Florida.
It sounds like somebody prematurely announced over there.
You're going to have a defensive coordinator. Band is his last name, from University of Miami. Their co-defensive coordinator will be the defensive coordinator of Utah State. And there's a lot of names floating around. All you have to do is look on Twitter and you can probably find out who they are. But they're putting that staff together and it's going to be pretty good. It looks to be a pretty good staff. Some big names from some big schools. I'll say that.
It's becoming a melting pot.
Yes. Yeah.
We've never seen this much, I guess, diversity in staff. Yeah. When I say that, I'm talking about, I guess, more geographically diverse. They're coming from all over the place.
They really are. And
I've had experience in all areas of the country.
Yes. And if, as it looks right now, this is the, I'm trying to think what Coach Anderson said. I believe this is the only school where he anticipates that the strength and conditioning coach, offensive coordinator, and defensive coordinator, the only team in the country that all three of those hires will be minorities.
Oh, very good. So I like what's going on at Utah State. I love the hire that Weber State just made. This was just announced maybe 5 minutes ago. Do you remember Robert Conley?
Big Con.
Yeah.
Big Con from the University of Utah. Well, Robert Conley's been working as assistant GA. He has been grinding in the business for a lot of years, and it was just announced by the Weber State football staff and head coach Jay Hill that Robert Conley will be the new defensive line coach at Weber State.
Oh, that's great.
And by the way, I love seeing former offensive linemen become defensive line coaches. It's one reason that I feel adequate in talking about trench play at any level, NFL or college level, because I played both on the offensive and defensive sides of the ball. And when I made the switch from the defensive side over to the offensive side, I understood what defensive linemen were trying to do, which helped me coach against what they were doing. And I think that that's what Robert Conley can do, and I'm really happy for him. He's a good guy. He was a good player for Utah back in the day, too. Was he a part of that 2008 undefeated team?
I want to say he was, Lloyd.
I think he was. And they have a picture of him. He looks like he's that offensive lineman that kind of trimmed up a little bit. You can see it in the face a little bit.
Yeah, you can see that at one point that dude was 330 pounds. But I'm really happy for Robert Conley. I've always been a fan of him, how he handles his business. So that's great news for Weber State.
Yeah, it's good to hire. And the one thing, this shows you why Jay Hill's a better person than I am. He feels like his program, not only a developmental program for players, but also a developmental program for coaches. And he loves it when guys are able to move on and get other opportunities, and either they become coordinators or assistant coaches at bigger schools or become head coaches at FCS level. And to me, that would drive me nuts, because I'm like, I get my coaching staff where I want them, and boom, they're gone. And I can't afford to match the salaries they're getting in other places. But he loves that. And he looks at that as not only his responsibility to his players, but to his assistant coaches. And I mean, that's just really impressive, which is why I think that he deserves to get a big-time job where he can pay guys what they deserve and not have to lose and have to replace two or three coaches every single year.
Just got a note from the BYU SID department. Did you see that the basketball game between BYU and San Diego that was scheduled for January 2nd now has been rescheduled for February 2nd? In San Diego. So rescheduling news for BYU. BYU has missed a lot of games. It's crazy how much time off that they've had. And then when they finally get back on the court, they have a pretty nasty injury. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the show as well.
So there you go. What you may have missed right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network as we talk a little bit more NBA coming up a little bit later on. The Jazz supposed to play tonight, but that game has been postponed. I'll try to get that up at a later date, but no game tonight for the Utah Jazz against the Wizards.
It's just the way life goes right now. And guess what? we'll deal with it. I mean, that's what we'll all do. These games get postponed. They get canceled. Life has all kinds of bumps and twists and turns. Guess what we do? We deal with it.
You deal with it.
Yeah.
Yep. You find a way to make it work.
You find a way to make it work. No, we don't have time to sit and cry and whine and complain about it. We'll figure out a way.
Andrew Reinhart, kind enough to hang out with us once again as we chat with our good friends at Wasatch Medical. And, Andrew, I know you've helped so many people up and down the Wasatch front. And I'm sure there's been a lot of people that have thought about calling and thinking, you know what, I'm going to be all right. Once or twice, every now and then, something happens. But I'll just do some sit-ups and cut out the carbs and everything's going to be fine. It's not always the case, is it?
Yeah, not always the case. Unfortunately, when a man starts to experience erectile dysfunction, it doesn't get better. It doesn't just heal itself. It's kind of like our eyesight. You know, it slowly gets worse. And the relationship is what suffers. We have helped so many guys with our acoustic wave therapy, clinically shown to open up gently, regrow blood vessels. And pretty quickly, the average guy does a few treatments over about 2 weeks. That is it. We can reverse erectile dysfunction. And keep in mind, 42 clinical studies, Cambridge University and so many others that have shown this works, it's safe, it has a high effective rate, and it's changing a lot of relationships out there.
Well, and that's the thing. It's not just a you issue, it's a relationship issue too. And I'm sure you've seen a lot of relationships really suffer from this.
Yeah, we've been talking to the man for so long. Hey, get your ED fixed. This can help you. But let's not forget he's got a significant other. This affects two people. And we see spouses come in with their guys. And, you know, they're pushing their guys, do this. We, at the end of the day, are really improving relationships.
801-901-8000. But I can't stress this enough. The most important thing is just get the free information. Find out where you're at and see if this is right for you.
Yeah, call us right now. The assessment, the exam, the screening with our medical doctor, it's going to be no charge. He'll do a blood flow ultrasound for free, and we'll also throw in a little booster in the bedroom, I call it. I've never seen it fail. You'll love that. All free, and then you decide from there if these treatments are a good fit for you.
801-901-8000. Make that phone call right now, 801-901-8000, right here on the Zone Sports Network.